Indeed.
My sheep know my voice. Huh? He calleth his own sheep by name. Read that. One of the rewards of the church, I cannot remember which one right now, but it talks about how he'll give us a white stone and there's a name written that no man knows but he. I wonder about it, amen. How many of you have heard an old wives' tale or two in your life? All right, here we go. Ready? I've got a few of them. I know some of you are ready to raise your hand and give suggestions right now. Here we go. How about this one? You know, your face is going to freeze like that. Some of you moms have said that wives' tale. Amen. You're smiling and laughing right now. How about this one? This is a classic. I still hear this one. It makes me laugh every time I hear it. They say, well, you know, births and deaths come in threes. People say that. Listen, there's 8 billion people on planet Earth. Figure out any mathematical formula you like. That's how they come. Amen? They come all the time. How about this one? If you sit too close to the TV, you're going to go blind. Huh? Don't touch frogs, you'll get warts. Heard that one? Oh, you know, the old preacher, B.R. Lakin, great old preacher. Oh, I love to listen to sermons by Brother Lakin. He used to say this, most people die at the hospital, so I just don't go to the hospital. He died on March 15th, 1984 at Baptist Hospital in Lynchburg, Virginia. So maybe that one was right, I don't know. How about this one, a popular wives' tale, if a bear is chasing you, play dead. Okay. By the way, that is half true and half false. If it's a mother grizzly defending her cubs, playing dead will work. But if it's a black bear that just feels like attacking you, playing dead, you're going to end up dead, actually. This idea of playing dead. Popular wives' tale. The Bible tells us that before we came to Christ, you and I were dead in sin. You see, God said to Adam and Eve, He said, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam and Eve partook of the tree in Genesis chapter 3. We see them eating of the fruit of the tree, and physically they didn't die. Adam lived to be 930 years old. But that day, spiritually, they became separated from God by sin. You and I, when we were born into this world, we were born in trespasses and sin. We were sinners from birth, dead in sin. I love Ephesians chapter 2. It says, but you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it tells us that we all had our conversation in the lusts of this world. And not only we were sinners by birth, but many of you know we're sinners by choice. Amen. Absolutely we are. You say, oh no, I'm saved now. You're still a sinner by choice. You choose to sin. And so according to the Bible, we're dead in trespasses and sins through the fall, and then came Jesus. And when this is why he said to Nicodemus the Pharisee, a good man, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must be quickened. You must be made alive by the Spirit of God. That's what happens when we get born again. Can I say this? I didn't feel cold chills. I didn't feel this super feeling that some people talk about when they give their testimonies. But I'll tell you this, I did what the Bible said. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know the Holy Spirit convicts me when I sin. I know, and on, I know, we know that we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. Amen. There's all kinds of knowledge about salvation, but dead in sin here, okay? I want you to look at Romans chapter 5. Boy, this is we want to talk about a tremendous chapter, and I don't have time to really dwell in it, but I want to just brush through it here. Notice in verses 1 through 5 of Romans 5 how God has lifted us. How God has lifted us. You see your standing in verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified by works. Is that what your Bible says? No. Therefore, being justified by baptism. No. Therefore, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It's amazing there. There's a standing of acceptance. See, there was a time we were enemies with God. There was a time we were dead in trespasses and sin. But Jesus Christ took His nail-pierced hand and our sinful hand and God's perfectly holy hand and put them together. And the Bible says there's peace because of His cross. So there's how God has lifted us, our standing. But in verses 4 and 5, we see our state. And it's a progressive state. It talks about there that we glory in tribulations. And then it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we see that how God has lifted us. In verses 6 through 11, we see how God has loved us. We mentioned this morning, verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I make no bones about this statement, and there are people that, boy, they get into the semantics of things. I'm telling you this, and I believe this with all my heart, the love of God is unconditional. I believe that with all my heart. Salvation is conditional. Salvation is conditional. You have to trust Christ to be saved. But no, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, people may go to hell, people will go to hell unsaved, but they'll never go unloved. God loves everybody that died and went to hell. He loved them enough to send His Son to die on the cross so that they could be saved. So, how much has God loved us? How God has loved us? It's unconditionally. He's loved us incomparably. Verses 7 and 8, look at it. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's no comparing that love. It's incomparable that God would die for the most wretched human being on planet Earth, would send Jesus and He would die on the cross. It's incomparable how God has loved us. Unconditionally, incomparably, provisionally. Look at how He provides for us in verses 9 and 10. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It's amazing what God provides for us in those verses. I don't have time to dwell on there. But then, fruitfully in verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What's the fruit of God's love? It's joy. It's joy that He gives to us, that we have. And so, how God has lifted us, how God has loved us. And then I want you to notice how God has loosed us. Verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. If you jump down to verse 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure that was to come, but not as the offense, so is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, and not as it was one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Here's verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came to all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Can I boil down this portion of Scripture to us? He said this, if through Adam men died, I've got good news for you. Through Jesus Christ, all men can be made alive. Amen. All men can be saved. Death came by the first Adam. Eternal life comes through the second Adam. And then in verse 20, we're struck with a great, I mean, just a wow verse. It says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. We talked about that this morning, how the law shows us how we offend God. It shows us how we break His laws. And then it says there, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, there is no sin so low that God's gracious hand cannot get under that sin and lift that person up. No sin. There isn't. There's nobody that is breathing that is beyond hope for you and I to share Christ with. Now they may, we don't know who's crossed God's line. That's none of our business, amen. Our business is to share Christ. But this idea here that he's saying is, look, God's grace reaches farther than sin could ever go. Great song by the Webster family. God's grace reaches farther than sin could ever go. But then we come to chapter 6, and I promise you I'm leading to a point here. It says there in verse 1 of chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Hey, Brother Jim, if there's enough grace out there to forgive my sins, then I think I'll just keep on sinning. Have you ever heard that from somebody? I've heard that from people that believe in what we call Arminian doctrine. Arminian doctrine, if you could sum it all up, is that you must stay holy to keep your salvation. You keep yourself saved. Okay? And an Arminian many times will say, if I believed like you that I could never lose my salvation, then I'd live any way I wanted, and I'd, like this, have cheap grace. Now, can I say that's a false statement? Because the grace of God is not for me to continue in sin. It's to marvel at God's incredible love for me despite sin. That's what God's grace is here. So he says there in verse 2, and this is kind of, I hope, will be the springboard, and again, I hope I can communicate this here. Verse 2 says, God forbid. And amen to that. That's the question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. That's not what God's grace is for. By the way, if we do sin, we have an advocate. 1 John 2 tells us, even Jesus Christ the righteous, that pleads our case. Okay? But he says here, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? When we receive Christ as our Savior, we become beneficiaries of His death. The fact that He died on the cross for our sin. We read Romans 5:8, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, through His virgin birth, through His death, through His resurrection. It was Him that was the Lamb of God that died on the cross for our sins. And all God's people said. So we become beneficiaries of His death. For those that have gladly been born again and received Christ, they gladly exalt Him and identify with His death. We identify. We glory in the cross, do we not? What happened on the cross? The death of Christ. The Lamb of God was slain. When we get baptized, we are buried in the likeness of His death. quarterly, when we push this table out and the men have the elements, we celebrate what? We celebrate His death. Okay? And so we identify with His death. I want you to look again. We'll look at Romans 6, and then I want to do a little bit of traveling here. And again, stay with me. At first, we were dead in sin. And now, you know, the way we're supposed to live, we're supposed to live dead to sin. And this is what I really want to try to get across here, whether we're playing dead or staying dead. See, if we're sinning willfully, doing our own thing, we're just playing dead. I'm going to tell you, that bear's going to tear you up. But if we're staying dead, as God says we are to, and we are positionally, but whether we are practically or not, if we're staying dead, we're alive unto Christ. I want you to look with me. Look at Romans 6:2. We said there, follow along. It says there, how shall we that are what? Dead to sin. Look at down at verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Crucified. What happens on the cross? What happens? Death. Death. Crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be what? Dead indeed unto sin. Dead indeed unto sin. Hold your place there in Romans. We're coming back. Go to Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 2. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. Incredible verse. Chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If you're there, say amen. Look what it says there. It says, I am what? Crucified with Christ. I gladly identify with His death. Amen? Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. Why? Because I'm dead with Christ. Not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. Okay, go over a page to Galatians chapter 5. It says, I am crucified with Christ there. Galatians 5. And verse number 24, please. Galatians 5:24. It says, and they that are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, please. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, identifying with His death, saying, I glory in His death. But then it says, by whom the world is what? Crucified unto me, and I unto the world. One more reference here. Go past Ephesians and Philippians and go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This message is 90% introduction and 10% points, and then as Yogi Berra said, there's another 5% in there somewhere. Amen. Look at chapter 3, verse 3 of Colossians. What a tremendous verse. It says, for ye are what? Dead. Now, it is not talking about us being dead in sin. It is talking about us being dead to sin. Why? Because it says there, ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When we do our own thing, in direct opposition to what we know God's Word said, we're just playing dead. We're just playing dead. When we think that we can have the smile of God by accepting His free gift of salvation and refuse to take part in His crucifixion, we're playing dead. He said, if any man will not take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. What is the cross? What does the cross represent? It represents death. Now, there are people that do not understand the Bible that literally think, Brother Randall, that means they have to nail themselves to a cross. That is not what that is talking about. It's talking about what the Bible calls our old man. The old, rotten, sinful, fleshly nature that wants to do everything opposite of what that book tells us to do. It's Ephesians 4:22. The old man and the lust. I think Colossians 3:9 calls it that as well. It's talking about our flesh. Remember what they said to Jesus? They said, hey, come down off the cross and we will believe you. Remember that? Save yourself. We'll believe you. Can I say this? Our flesh is supposed to be on that cross. It's supposed to be on that cross, crucified with Christ and dead. See, what I want to try to get us to do with this old flesh today is to just stay dead. Stay dead. That flesh, positionally, it's dead. In the mind of God, positionally, our flesh is dead, but practically, it's still hanging on to us, isn't it? It's still around. Positionally, dead. Well, I want to say, let's stay dead. Let's stay dead. I don't mean we need a dead church. Again, that's why I ask for your prayers in trying to communicate this. Let's keep that flesh under wraps. Three ways, I believe, that we can stay dead to the old flesh. If you go back to Romans chapter 6, and I'm wrapping it up right here. I'm looking at the time, and my boys are smiling right now. Amen. Tell you, you're going to preach long or short. I'm going to preach until I'm done, boys. Hallelujah. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I really do. We're supposed to be dead to sin. The closer we get to God, and the more we stay dead, the less alluring sin is to us. You know, a dead man doesn't get tempted. Dead man doesn't commit adultery. You think of a sin, a dead man doesn't steal. A dead man doesn't disobey. He's just dead. You know what we're supposed to be? Dead to sin. Three things. First of all, number one, knowing. Verse 6. Knowing. It says, knowing this. We would say, a coach would say this, get this through your thick skull. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the first thing we get here is, number one, knowing. Knowing that our flesh, the old man, is crucified with Christ, that I can't sin. That part of me was nailed to the cross. Amen. I can't partake of sin. I need to know that. I need to know that my old man, my flesh, is crucified with Christ. You have to know. You have to know that. That's so important. Knowing, number one. Number two. Not only knowing, but reckoning. Okay, verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. So we have knowing, and then we have reckoning. This idea here that not only do I know that my sin is crucified with Christ, but I actually reckon my flesh is dead unto sin. See, this is the positional life of the Christian is in the mind of God here. But what we have is the practical life. We need to know that our flesh was crucified with Christ, and we need to reckon ourselves dead unto sin. I can't do that. Why? I'm dead. That part of me is dead. You know, being saved now 20 years, it's incredible to think about. It's incredible to think that 20 years ago I was in a rock band and doing all whatever I wanted to do, and then God interrupted my life. It's still to this day, I'm like Gypsy Smith. I've never lost the wonder of it all. I hope I never do. But I think about that, and if we were to go home and people would say, hey, you and Carrie want to go with us out to the bar. You know what I could honestly say? I can't. I'm dead. I'm dead to that old life. I don't do that anymore. Why? Because I'm alive unto God. But it's hard to be alive unto God when you're alive unto sin. So we need to stay dead. Number one, it's knowing. Number two, it's reckoning. Number three, if you look at verse number 13, and this is probably the key of keys to this whole message. It's the last point. Not only knowing, not only reckoning, but yielding. That's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Yielding. What does it say there in verse number 13? It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Why? Because you're dead. Dead, it doesn't make sense. A dead man shouldn't yield himself unto unrighteousness. He's dead. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, if you're alive unto sin, you yield yourself to unrighteousness. But if you're dead unto sin, you yield yourself unto God, and you're alive unto righteousness. Think about this in your own life. Think about a particular sin that you struggle with. And I don't want, please, no hands. No hands, okay? I don't need volunteers. I want you to just think about this in your mind. Be it disobedience. Maybe you got, ma'am, you've got a problem with your husband, or sir, you have a problem with your wife, or whatever it is. Come into the house of God. I know this is the Sunday afternoon crowd and you're here, but just think about it. When you yield unto that particular sin, you are saying, I am not dead unto sin. But when you say, you know what, I'm not going to sin that sin, that yes, Satan is tempting me, I'm not going to do it because I'm dead, you're saying, I'm alive unto God, and you're yielding yourself unto righteousness. This is why in Romans 8 it talks about how the flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. There's nothing you could do in the flesh that's worth any reward. I'm talking about the old natured flesh. We all have this flesh. Brother Jim, you went out on the bus route this morning, and it was the Spirit of God, certainly, but He dragged your old flesh along, didn't He? Hallelujah. Amen. These are the bodies God gives. I'm not talking about that kind. I'm not talking about physical flesh. I'm talking about the old nature. And you know what we need to do with that old nature? We need to put it back in the coffin. We need to dig the hole again. We need to put it back down in the ground and leave it there. Stay dead. Staying dead or playing dead? If we continue in sin, we're playing dead. We're playing dead. And we're going to get torn up. That bear is going to tear us to pieces. You know what we need to do with our flesh? We need to stay dead. Stay dead. Father, thank You. Lord, You